laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. We are doing a loosey-goosey bonus episode. I'm Bethany Watson.
I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And happy.
Happy bonus. We're here today with a special guest. We have a third chair in our virtual room, and that is Taste Bud Sydney. Say hi, Sydney.
Hello.
Hi, Sydney. So listeners may already be familiar with you without realizing it, because we talked about kind of this issue you were having a couple of episodes ago. Do you want to briefly tell us why you wrote in and kind of what we had been talking about?
Yeah. So I'm a woman in the tech field, which is, I guess, a relatively still a new concept to some people. I get misgendered a lot because I communicate mostly with customers and vendors through email. And Sydney is a gender neutral name.
Yeah.
And some people will call me Mr. or they'll call me David, which kind of confuses me because I guess like I get it from my last name, which is Davidson.
You're being very generous. That doesn't make any sense.
I don't think it makes sense either. I've even had professors in emails call me David. And then in class, they're like, where's David? Like they've been emailing me. And I'm like, I'm not going to say anything, but it's me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was getting misgendered a lot, and it bothers me because like, that's not my gender. I'm a female. I identify with she, her, hers pronouns. So I decided to put my pronouns in my email signature. And a few weeks after doing that, one of my supervisors called me and told me it was inappropriate.
Yeah. So you wrote about this in our Acquired Taste Facebook fan group, and you were asking people for advice on what you should do. And so we saw that you wrote that in the Facebook fan group, and we talked about it on the podcast a couple of weeks ago about we just briefly touched on the topic about why pronouns are so important. So like, what's your update? What happened after you put it in your signature?
So I did reach out to the Taste Bud fan group because I know that everyone there is so supportive, and I knew that they would understand where I was coming from because I knew it was wrong, but I'm not a confrontational person.
Sure.
Especially at work, because one, I'm only technically an intern. So it's kind of hard for me to speak up because I'm like, well, you're just an intern.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
okay. Yeah.
So you put it in your email signature and then your boss told you to take it out?
Yeah, it was about a week and a half after I put it in. And to be honest, I was waiting for someone to comment on it and like tell me to take it out because of just the nature of the people I work with.
Wow. Okay.
So it took about a week and a half, and she called me, and I'm working from home for obvious reasons. And so is my boyfriend who I live with, and I had her on speakerphone. And when she said that, I hung up, and my boyfriend was like, oh my God, you could totally go to HR with that. Like, that is so wrong. And at first I was like, I don't know, like, I don't want to cause problems. So I posted in the Taste Bud fan group, and I actually asked my aunt and my mom what they think, just because they're older and they've been in the work force longer than me.
Sure.
And they both actually agreed with my supervisor and said it was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, why? Like, I just wanted to know their opinions on it. And my aunt was like, well, why can't you just put Miss or like Ms? I was like, because that determines if I'm married or not, not my gender.
Yeah.
That definitely helps, but it's not the point I'm trying to prove.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So they disagreed with you. They said that you shouldn't cause a stir about it.
Yeah. And the other thing that kind of held me back was because I'm not transgender. I am cisgender, meaning I identify with the gender I was assigned with at birth.
Yeah.
So I felt like if I were to reach out to HR, they would be like, well, are you transgender? I would have been like, no. And then they would have been like, well, then why can't you just like deal with it?
And that's one thing, Sydney, that, you know, we talked about when we talked about your post on Facebook, is that I also had similar concerns, and Kathleen, you did as well, when we first started listing our pronouns, because you don't want to take ownership of a battle that isn't necessarily yours, right? Yeah. And it's this fine line between being an ally and taking on the mantle of being a victim when the victimization isn't necessarily happening to you.
Exactly.
So, you know, I talked about it in that episode as well. I have a friend who's on, you know, a gender journey, and they use they, them pronouns. And I talked to them and asked, like, is it appropriate for me to list my pronouns even though I'm not non-binary, I'm not transgender? And they were like, yes, because the more people who do this, the more it normalizes this being a thing that people put, you know, on their signatures and whatever. So
yeah.
when someone does see a signature or a social media bio that says they, them, or et cetera, it's not going to be weird because they've seen everybody else doing it as well.
I think that people who aren't open-minded to someone changing their pronouns, I think they probably have the argument like, oh, this is a trendy topic like right now just because everybody is so into being PC. But that's 100% not correct. Mm-hmm. It's on the forefront of everybody's mind right now because more trans and non-binary people are living out in the open mm-hmm. than they ever have before. And that is why this conversation is happening more and more about asking people what their pronouns are. And you can't always tell someone's gender by looking at them. And it is just a simple sign of respect. Even if you probably 99% know someone's gender by looking at them, mm-hmm. it is a simple sign of respect to just ask someone the question, hey, what's your pronoun? Mm-hmm. You know, just normalize that question.
Circling back to what Bethany said, where she was asking her friend, actually, Bethany, you're the one that influenced me to do it. I remember it was like a while ago. You posted it on your Instagram story about mm-hmm. how we need to normalize pronouns. And after I saw yours and Dennis's Instagram story, I went and put it in my Instagram bio because that was my thought process, was normalizing it.
Yeah.
But then taking it into effect when you're like in the workplace, I felt like I was, again, like fighting a battle that wasn't necessarily mine.
Well, I think because you have a gender neutral name, you're an excellent candidate to sort of step up yeah. and ask these questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Your boss told you to take it down. What happened after that?
So I took it out because I'm an intern. I have to have my two supervisors CC'd on all my emails going mm-hmm. in and out.
Okay.
And she saw that I was getting misgendered, and it's happened before, and she's laughed it off, mm-hmm. which like at first I did think like, when my professor was calling me David, it was kind of a joke, but then it was starting to really bother me, especially at work, because tech and IT is such a man's world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it was starting to bother me. And at this point, like it was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. And she thought I put it in my email, and this was her words. She said that I put it in the email to be petty.
Mm. Wow. Okay.
So I took it out, and then I knew it was wrong, but everyone was telling me like, don't make a fuss out of it. Don't make a fuss out of it. Except for the taste buds who are awesome and were helping me. And I spent the rest of the day combing through paperwork from HR to find if there was something about gender pronouns and identifying. Working in New York State, we have something called the Equals Opportunity Act. And in there, it specifically says that if someone doesn't call you by the correct pronouns, then it's considered gender harassment or something along the lines
wow.
of.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is perfect. Like, this is it. So I emailed HR, and I didn't specifically say my issue. Mm-hmm. I just asked about email signature etiquette and if there was things to do, things not to do, if there was things like against like the code or whatever the rules. Mm-hmm. And I said specifically revolving around gender identity. And I said like, hypothetically, if someone puts their pronouns in their email signature and then someone tells them to take it out because it's inappropriate, like, is this okay?
Asking for a friend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The next day I got a weird email from my other supervisor, and she was just like, hey, just checking in, making sure everything's okay. Like how's, cause I'm still in college. And she was like, how's school going? And like, they don't ask me those questions. So I was kind of like, that's weird.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah. Because when someone starts to be too nice to you, you're like, yes. Huh, what are you getting at?
Ironically, I trust you less now.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it was through an email with the other supervisor who called out my pronouns. And uh-huh. normally, like, if she wanted to talk to me, like, personally, she would just, like, message me on Skype or something. But because it was through email, I was super suspicious. And I was yeah. like, okay, like, someone must have said something. I didn't hear back from HR. But then about a week later, I got a call from the original supervisor who called me out. And she was apologizing and saying, like, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that's how people identify, which like.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, exactly.
HR definitely schooled her on being a little bit more open-minded.
Yeah. So I reached back out to my aunt because she used to be a manager. And I was like, why? Like, HR never got back to me. Like, did someone else talk to her about it? And my aunt was like, oh, well, being a manager, normally if someone files an HR complaint, they reach out to the supervisor first to see if like what's going on. So I was like, oh, well, if I knew that, I would have never emailed HR.
Yeah.
HR is a touchy beast.
It is, yeah.
Like Kathleen and I said, HR is never there to protect the employee. HR is there to protect the business and the company from getting sued. And so if it's in the company's best interest to make the employee, you know, not angry or to give the employee what they need because legally that's the right thing to do, then they will. But it's never because HR cares about you. And like, that's probably not a popular opinion, but I think it's mostly true.
And it's not like, Sydney, you said you got a call from HR, right?
No, I got a call from my manager.
Ah, see, like my experience with HR is that they call me and they act one way. They're like, you know, they're really nice and like totally sympathetic. And then once you get an email from them, it's like their tune has changed. That's my personal experience with HR anyway.
Yeah, they never actually reached out to me until a few weeks later. They're like, oh yeah, like there's really no like laws revolving around email signature. But like, yeah, you could put your pronouns in there. It's no big deal.
All right.
But it was after my supervisor apologized to me and she was just like, I don't know how people identify, which again, like, do not know what a pronoun is.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah.
And she was like, I didn't know. I thought you were just doing it to like be petty. And I was like, I'm not you who does everything to be petty.
And also, I think it's a generational thing as well.
Oh, definitely.
Like, Sydney, how old are you? Am I allowed to ask you that?
I'm 22.
Yeah. So my mom has a rental property and in her rental property is a woman who is trans. And my mom, and I work on this with my mom, and I know sometimes my mom gets frustrated, but I think for her, it's a generational gap thing where the woman who lives in her property, my mom gets confused, calls the woman by the name that she was known as before she transitioned and mixes up pronouns. And I'm like, mom, her, like, you have to work on this, mom. Like, it's important. And I don't think that we should all be like, well, go home and school your moms and your dads and your grandmas and your grandpas, because that's not the message I want to give off. But when you see a person from the generation above you make a mistake, I think it's really important for people in our generation to just kindly tell them that they need to work on it or correct them.
Yeah, my mom is similar.
Yeah. And there's something, you know, I'm aware that we're like three cis women talking about this, but, you know, here we are. There's something called dead naming too, which, you know, is using the name of the transgender person, using the name they had before they transitioned or before they, you know, took on a new name. And it's harmful. You know, you can do it by accident, still harmful, but like some people do it on purpose and it's aggressive and it's meant to be hurtful, you know, and it's something we all have to work on. You know, it's harder if you've known someone one way for a long time and then you have to suddenly learn a new name and, you know, make new habits. But I think the more people who realize that it really is incredibly damaging, it's not just a petty thing. It's an identity. It's a person's being that you're basically saying, I don't see it as valid.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
And I know how annoyed I get when people call me Kathy. Like, people who don't know me are like, hey, Kathy. And I'm like, dude, that is not my name. Like, it's just not a nickname that I like. I like the name Kathleen. That's what I prefer to be called. And that is something so small. I can't imagine if someone did that to me as a pronoun to be intentionally hurtful, you know?
Yeah.
It would be so devastating. And, you know, Sydney, it's kind of funny that we're talking to you today because just a couple days ago, Wednesday, October 3rd, was International Pronouns Day. Did you know that?
I knew it was International Coming Out Day a few days ago. I'm not sure the date, but I did not know that. That's so, like, quinky-dink.
Yeah, it is.
Was it the 20th?
It was the 20th, yeah.
The 20th.
International Pronouns Day falls on the third Wednesday of every October, and Cosmo actually published this really touching first-person account. The title of the article was "My Pronouns Don't Define Me, But They Do Describe Me." It was written by Griffin Winnie, and Griffin wrote in the article that when I came out as non-binary nearly 8 years ago, my pronouns felt like the biggest deal to me ever. I was depressed and confused about my body and my place in the world, and ensuring that those around me used the correct language gave me an immense sense of security and validation. Hearing someone they me for the first time felt like I finally didn't have to defend myself, which is unreal. I mean, just it's such a powerful thing to read.
So Sydney, where do things stand now? Because sometimes when you reach out to HR and then your boss apologizes, things can be awkward. How is work now?
Like, it's hard because I'm working from home, so I don't really get that full dynamic that if this were to happen in the office. And I actually think if this happened in the office, I probably wouldn't have emailed HR. Just because pre-existing tensions between me and my supervisors, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, okay.
Which is just, I think it's a woman in tech because both of my supervisors are women. I know that on the original episode, Bethany, you're like, it's probably a man who said that.
Which is, now I'm a jerk, but I definitely assumed.
I don't want to say it's a safe assumption, but it's a safe assumption because you would think, and this is something that I struggle with a lot, because I'm such a big supporter of like women supporting women. And I've worked in Aerie, which I know that, and they only hire women, and working on a team of women like that was so empowering. And it was probably one of the best jobs I've ever had.
Wait, are you talking about Aerie, the brand, the offshoot of American Eagle? I love Aerie so much. They make some of my favorite underwear.
Same. I used to just be like an associate, but they only hire women. And it was one of the best experiences I've had working with all women, because it was just like such a supportive group of people, and I've met some really great people working there. So when I got hired working on a team of 6 women in technology field, I was like, oh my God, like this is going to be great. Mm-hmm. I was really wrong. And I think it comes down to the fact that women in STEM in general have to work a lot harder to get where they are, especially in management. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely some competitive edge.
100%. And women in STEM, I feel, sometimes have to take on a more masculine role in the office to get where they are.
Yeah, makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That was something that came into play, because here I am as a woman starting off in STEM. I'm just an intern. And I'm not gonna lie, I feel like I'm a pretty good worker. I do my work and I get it done well. And it's weird to feel like I'm a threat to people because of that. Mm-hmm. But I think that comes into play a little bit, at least. Since I sent the email and since my supervisor apologized, I got slammed with a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't talked to her since then. And no one really talked to me for about a few weeks, unless if it was absolutely necessary.
Okay. You got the cold shoulder. Yeah.
So there's a bit of a microscope on you right now.
Yeah.
Sounds like. Yeah. It's so unfortunate.
It's really interesting. And I think, Sydney, just other people hearing this conversation about how you sort of took this on and emailed HR. My hope is that this conversation, anyone listening to this podcast, thinks a little bit more deeply about pronouns and maybe strives to make the same change in their company. Like, Sydney, I have to say that today I changed my pronouns in my Instagram profile and in my Twitter profile. I didn't change. I added them to my bio because you and Bethany have inspired me to add that now, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like one of the other reasons why I did email HR was because, what if I was transgender, or what if I was non-binary? Mm-hmm. And like, what if I put my pronouns in there as they, them? Mm-hmm. Would I have gotten the same response? Or is it just because, again, I am cisgendered and my supervisors may not know the term, but they know that I identify with the gender I was assigned with at birth. And I was like, I'm going to be the voice for people who might not have the courage or they're shy to say like, this is wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was also kind of my motivation behind doing it too, is because I want pronouns to be normalized. And even now, even before this happened, I always try to use gender neutral pronouns in general, just to stay on the safe side. Mm-hmm. Kathleen mentioned earlier, like people calling her Kathy and she doesn't like it. Mm-hmm. I cannot stand when people call me Sid.
I get that. Yeah.
And I always introduce myself as Sydney because that's my name. And this other person I work with always calls me Sid. Mm. I'm really bad at hiding my facial expressions.
You and me both, Sydney.
He'll be like, hey, Sid. And I'll just like look so mad. You should not be calling someone something that they didn't introduce themselves as. Mm-hmm. Like my boyfriend's name is William, but he always introduces himself as Will.
Yeah.
So people always call him Will. And even people will ask him, like, oh, do you go by William or Will? See, so like, oh, you just call me Will.
You know, it's so funny because it's not uncommon and it doesn't feel weird to ask someone if they have a nickname, you know, like,
right.
If I had, like, my friend Stephanie goes by Steph a lot, but I was sending a DM to somebody on Instagram that I didn't know the other day and I almost typed Steph. And then I stopped myself and I was like, okay, I don't know if this person goes by Steph. So with the same casual attitude we take towards asking someone what their nickname is, to be respectful when addressing them, we also need to normalize and make it a casual thing just to ask someone what their pronoun is. Hey, William, do you ever go by Will? Hey, Bethany, do you ever go by Beth?
You know? Like, even the name, because Beth is such, people who know me know this, like, Beth is such a different name than Bethany. I don't have,
it does,
like,
it is.
The name Beth is beautiful, but it's not my name. And so when people call me Beth, I have a visceral reaction to it. And, you know, if you, gentle listener, are someone who has a hard time kind of figuring out what the big deal is about pronouns, think of a nickname you hate being called. And now imagine that everyone calls you that your entire life, every day. Like, people, like strangers, just call you, you know, Nikki, when your name is not Nikki, it's Nicole, right?
Yeah.
It's a small version of what the issue is. And yeah, it's funny. Like, oh, just like hearing it, just, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah. So the first time that you're talking to someone at work or in a business capacity or basically anyone, whether it's email or in a phone call, just a simple, hey, just so I get it right, what are your pronouns?
Mm-hmm.
It is light years of progress for people who are trans and non-binary. Okay. More on this in a second, but we got to take a very quick break first. Bethany, I'm just drooling over this Jenny Kane website right now because they have so many cute things.
Look, we are into cozy season, and this is when you want cozy things that will last you. I don't want to spend a lot of money on a sweater that's scratchy or feels like plastic and actually doesn't make me feel warm. I have this sweater coat from Jenny Kane. I wore it all day yesterday because you can wear it outside. It's like a jacket, but it's a cardigan. It's so comfy and it's such high quality.
I'd rather spend more money on one really excellent quality sweater than a bunch of money on a bunch of shitty sweaters. I've been wearing my Jenny Kane, I have it, the everyday sweater in black. I've been wearing it basically every day, and now I'm on the website absolutely drooling over their eco boyfriend cardigan because it just looks so comfy.
Look, Jenny Kane designs pieces for the laid-back California state of mind. Definitely not my state of mind because I'm always anxious. But the nice thing is that her pieces are like your daily uniform. So you can wrap yourself up in them. They're high quality. They have the wardrobe essentials that make your space feel like home. So stuff for your wardrobe, stuff for your house. Classic lines, beautiful fabric.
So effortless, the Jenny Kane style. And you know, my friend Jessica, she used our code to buy the mules, these suede shearling mules from Jenny Kane. She texts me every time she's wearing them, and that's basically every day. Also, all my friends in California already know about this brand, and they're like, why aren't East Coasters up with how cool Jenny Kane is? I'm like, I'm trying to make that happen, man.
And we can help you find your classic look from Jenny Kane as well.
Make getting dressed the easiest part of your routine at JennyKane.com. To get 20% off of your first order, all you have to do is use the code TASTE, T-A-S-T-E, at checkout.
Again, go to JennyKane.com, promo code TASTE. That's JennyKane.com, promo code TASTE.
Bethany, before you're like, okay, we're three cisgender women having this conversation, but unlike some of the issues that fall when white women talk about race, I don't think that this is one of those gray areas that we should be careful about. I think that it is absolutely important for cisgendered people to have this conversation and to normalize it.
You know, you're right.
You know what I mean?
You're right.
Yeah,
right.
I agree.
You're totally right.
Another thing that sort of strikes a chord with me when we're talking about this is online databases, when they ask you what your gender is, I don't see they or non-binary in enough of these, like, you know, pull down menus when I'm filling stuff out. I just don't see it.
Sometimes I see other, but I feel like that's also kind of like a slap in the face.
I hate other.
Yeah, other feels not great.
Yeah.
No. It like kind of like isolates non-binary people, in my opinion. But it's funny because since I'm graduating college in December, I've been trying to get a job and leaving the job I'm currently at for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have come across a few applications that do ask for your pronouns. Not many, but a few.
Huh. That's great. I think it's like anything. It's gonna take a while, but you do see the companies that do it and you love them more. If you know, like I was sending emails to my senators the other day, and
good for you, girl.
Thanks. Got some feelings about some stuff. And one of them had a drop down menu that had like a bunch of different greetings, like Mr., Ms., Mrs., I think Mix, like a bunch of them. And some had just a few. So I was like, okay, so even our senators are like different in how they're viewing the issue and how many options they give to people. But it made me happy that both had many options. It wasn't just, you know, ma'am, sir.
Yeah. You know, there's this interesting story coming out of Frisco, Texas. It happened just last month. So apparently, Wakeland High School in Frisco, Texas, their local news network, the high school puts together like a 15-minute news show.
Cute.
Yeah, cool. And they cover everything from dress code to, you know, updates on COVID numbers to how to purchase tickets for the varsity football game. And in late September, one of their broadcasts also included this little bit about how you can't always tell someone's pronoun just by looking at them, and that their database for Wakeland High School, they had added they to how you could identify yourself in the database. The students doing the broadcast said, asking and correctly using somebody's pronouns is one of the most basic ways to show respect for gender identity. And so this aired on the local news, and there was a huge sort of like roar within the community. Parents were confused. Parents were like, why didn't you tell us that this was going to be like broadcast before? And it's like, because this is not the type of thing that needs a memo. Like, get with the times, parents. Come on.
Yeah. For anyone who's like me and is non-confrontational, and if you're experiencing someone else being misgendered or you're being misgendered, like it's definitely awkward to ask for pronouns. Even for me, like, for example, just to give a little more background of the people I work with, we went out to like a holiday lunch, you know, last holiday season. And our waiter said, ladies and gentlemen, and then was like, oh, I guess I can't use that anymore. And then everyone was like, yeah, like people these days, like they're so like PC. And I was just sitting there like, oh, my God.
And you just naturally, as a woman specifically, you don't want to be like, ugh, like cause a stir or get, you know, like say anything, because then everyone's like, oh, they're so PC. Like, look at them. Just that annoying woman who's causing a stir.
Even that term, I don't like the term PC, because to me, PC aligns with being uppity and being uptight.
Yeah.
Where to me it's about empathy. It's not political correctness, it's empathy and trying to
understand.
Yeah. Yeah. And trying to understand where a group of people not like me is coming from. And I think PC is used by people who just think everyone's being a little bit too sensitive, which is unfortunate, but I also think that that hopefully is a mindset that's dying out.
Hey, Bethany, will you share that story that you just told me off the pod about that email that you sent and how you weren't sure how to address the email?
Yeah, so this had never happened to me before. I was writing a professional email to somebody who was somebody that had a lot of power, and I needed the email to be incredibly professional and to go well. I looked up the person, and thank goodness their LinkedIn profile said that they went by they, them. And, you know, they had written in their bio very clear that they are non-binary. And I had never written an email addressing a non-binary person before, in that I didn't know how to use they, them as an address.
Like Miss, Mr., Mrs.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I started doing some Googs, and the one that came up the most was MX, period. And there were some other options as well, but that was the one that like seemed to come up the most. And so I figured, look, even if they prefer to be called Mr. or Ms. or whatever, I think showing MX shows that I'm aware that they're non-binary, and shows that I see that and that I see them. And so I did. I said MX, and we'll say the last name is Johnson, and sent the email off. Didn't hear back from them for a couple of weeks. And so as you do, I sent a follow-up, but I had looked at their Instagram, and I saw that on their Instagram, they listed their pronouns as they, she, and their most recent videos, they were definitely presenting more feminine, you know, makeup, women's clothing, earrings, you know, painted nails, things that traditionally are feminine. And I was like, okay, maybe I should use the she. Mm-hmm. And so I addressed it to Ms. And they emailed me back immediately and said, you know, hey, Bethany, no, you got it right the first time. It's Mix. You are the first person who has ever addressed me that way without being asked.
Wow.
And
they probably really appreciated that.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed that I had changed it and gone with Ms., but also was just like, okay, that's awesome. I'm glad that this first interaction with this went well. I am glad that the person who I was emailing was so gracious.
Yeah.
Because that's probably exhausting. But it was a good lesson. First of all, like, if you're going to email someone cold and you need something from them, do your research, because mm-hmm. this person definitely has a male name. And if I had not looked into it, I probably would have made a major faux pas and probably, you know, annoyed yeah. that person. It was just a good experience to have. And, you know, we were able to have an email exchange that was a little bit more friendly just because we had that kind of base interaction. Mm-hmm. And I was grateful for that.
I never thought about that before. MX, that's a good one to add to my dictionary of things that I need to work on.
not everyone likes it. You know, not everyone prefers it. There are many options, but it's just a good one to know.
I remember the artist, Sam Smith, they came out mm-hmm. as non-binary and they use they, them pronouns. And so many of the articles that were addressing this, they kept using he, him. And everyone was like, you're literally writing an article about how they use they, them pronouns, and yeah. you're still getting it
yeah.
wrong.
Yeah.
When you have someone in your life who comes out as trans or non-binary, sometimes it's really hard to switch your thinking and call them by the new pronoun that they want to go by. Mm-hmm. I think just a little practice, you know, like mm-hmm. just write it. Have fake conversations with this person mm-hmm. and or get together with your other friends and talk about this person with the new pronoun. And I think like just a little practice goes a long way.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Even if you mispronoun or misgender someone, even a simple, oh, I'm sorry, like I'm still getting used to it. I'm sure the person is going to be understanding and be like, it's okay. Like at least you're making an effort to try yeah. and be inclusive and be respectful.
Yeah.
A simple, oh, I'm sorry, it goes a long way.
And if we have any trans or non-binary listeners who are listening to this conversation right now, we want to hear from you. Are you cringing at us talking about this right now?
Yeah, like what massive thing have we missed? Like what did we miss?
Or are we moving in the right step, but is there something else that we should be including? You know?
And there's like one more thing I want to say. If you are somebody – this has nothing to do with gender. If you are somebody who is in a position of power in a workplace – I hope that we can change the culture of people who ask for help in an office space being made to feel very awkward afterwards. Mm. Because I've been in positions before where I wanted to go to HR. When I worked at a bank, there was a very bad situation that happened with an email that someone accidentally sent me, and the contents of that email were awful. Mm. And I knew that if I reported that person to HR, they would know it was me, mm-hmm. And I would get retaliated against. And technically, it's illegal to retaliate against someone who goes to HR, but you know, people get retaliated against all the time. Mm-hmm. That culture needs to be changed. Mm-hmm. People who work in HR, people who work in positions of power who receive those HR notifications, people who make those reports are not doing it to get back at you or because they're having a fun time doing it. It probably took weeks, if not months, of like sleepless nights trying to decide if you're going to come forward and say something. And you also come forward saying something knowing that you might lose your job. Yeah. Over it, even if that's illegal, offices will find a way. And so I just want that culture to change. It's so damaging.
Love that, Bethany. Well, in the philosophical words of the very highbrow TV musical, High School Musical, we're all in this together.
No, keep going, Kathleen. Come on. You got this.
Something.
Sydney, thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, taste buds, thanks for sticking around for this loosey-goosey bonus. If you have any thoughts on pronouns or personal experience in your life, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com. So catch you on the flip side and see you later this week for our annual Spooky Stories episode. We're all in this together. Ba, ba, ba.